Hello, this is Jeff Buckles with the Three Raging Two Destinies Ministries. We're in Genesis 5 today, if you will. We're going to look at another biblical character. We're going to look at a man named Noah. Now, Noah's name means rest, and that's appropriate. There's not many people that we have not heard about any more than Noah from the Bible. Even in mythology, even in other world religions, even in old historical accounts, you hear the story of the ark, of the flood, and you hear of Noah. How a few people came through it. So that whenever I mention the name, it should bring us to mind. There is the flood. Noah is the one that came through the flood and lived, that brought the animals into the ark. Well, if you go with me to Genesis chapter 5, and verse 29, if you have a Bible with you, and if you don't, we'll be reading. We find the story of Noah. Now, I'm trying to turn to it right now myself, so here we go. Genesis 5:29. Let me go to verse 28. And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son, and he called his name Noah, saying, "This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord has cursed." When Lamech birthed Noah, and he named him Rest, he defines what that means here in verse 29. He says, because he's going to comfort us concerning the work and the toil of our hands because of the ground that the Lord has cursed, he's going to bring us comfort. He's going to help us. He's going to bring us comfort concerning this curse that God's placed upon the ground. That was the hope of Noah's father. We ask the question, you know that when a man's born in the world, a lot of times it just depends on when he's born as to whether or not he's famous, as to whether or not he's powerful, as to whether or not he's used in any way, shape, or form. That's not by chance, that's by providence. But the fact that Noah was born in the time that he was, in the conditions that he was born, it was just exactly the right time and place for a man such as this to be born for the purpose which God had for him. Let's read from Genesis chapter 6 and verse 1. And if you're turning to that, I'm going to pray for the Lord's blessing on this message today. Father, again, we thank you for one such as Noah and Abel and Adam and Eve to show us the way to you, Lord, that who looked to you by faith, who had turned to you and believed you, Lord. And Father, we just pray today that you'd help that anybody out there that has not trusted you, has not believed that God saves and it's in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you'd touch their heart today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the conditions that Noah was in when he was born are laid out before us in Genesis chapter 6, and begin reading at verse 1. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of men, that they were fair, and took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man, for he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of his thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." So that in the day when Noah was born, he was born into a place of utter wickedness. And God even limits the time that man is going to have here to survive. He says he has 120 years, and that's going to be the end of it. He says, "My spirit won't always strive with men." So in this time, God, by his spirit, is striving with these people to come to himself. We see that the Lord is still working to draw people to himself, even though the imagination of their hearts are only evil and wickedness continually. But look at the way that men were in these days. They were giants. They were men of renown. They were mighty men. These were powerful, strong people. The chances are the dinosaurs were alive in these days, and these people could just go out and kill them. I think that's very, very possible. But God looked down on man, and he saw that the imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. You see, God doesn't look on the outward appearance, but upon the heart. And God repented himself that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. So that when we see Noah, you always hear of Noah building the ark, and Noah being a man of God, and Noah believing God, and Noah being righteous. But he was born into a place where nobody was listening to God, where all people were following evil, and they were doing what they wanted to do. And if we think we have it bad today, think what it must have been like in the days of Noah. You know, I can just see the homosexuality was running rampant, and the unbelief was unimaginable, and the wickedness of men was horrible. You know, the hearts of men have not changed in these 2,000 years, not at all. Now the Lord repented that he had made the men, that he had made man. He has been dealing with man, striving with him with his spirit, and now he finally says, I will destroy man whom I have created from off the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, and all the fowls of the air, for it repents me that I have made them. Now God makes the decision, I'm going to take them out. I'm going to get rid of all of them. They're all wicked. They're evil. I'm sorry I made them, and I'm going to destroy them. But it says in verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. When God looked down at Noah, he saw with Noah, he said, he found grace. Because it says that Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. We find out after the flood that Noah was a man who made offerings. Noah was a man of sacrifices. And it was the same sacrifices that God had been accepting from Abel. And we see that Noah was a man of faith. So the conditions were horrible. It was terrible conditions in that day. There was nobody believing. Nobody was trusting God. Nobody was getting saved. The instructions are in verse 13. Now God saw that the whole earth was corrupt and filled with violence. In verse 12, God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, and all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shall you make in the ark, and you shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And then he gives him the instructions on how to make the ark through verse 22. And he tells him how to do it through verse 17, and he begins to tell him what he's going to do. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein there is breath of life from under the heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. Now there's something I want you to notice here. The rest of the world who is going on in their evil, who God has been dealing with his spirit, God doesn't say a word to them about what he's going to do. Who does he tell? He tells the man who is his. He tells his people what he's going to do. He tells Noah, I'm going to destroy everybody. I'm telling you, Noah. Well, the New Testament tells us that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Noah preached this word to these people. Turn to God. Come to God the way he wants you to. Be saved, because God is going to destroy every living thing that has the breath of life from under heaven, and every living thing that's in the earth and on the earth. But he says in verse 18 to Noah, but with thee will I establish my covenant. You shall come into the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing, of all flesh, two of every sort shall you bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, cattle, and everything that creeps. Then he goes on and tells him, take food that is eaten, gather it for you and for them. And Noah did as God had commanded him. This Noah did. God tells Noah, I'm going to establish a covenant with you, Noah. Here's the deal. Noah, I'm going to save you. Because I'm going to save you, Noah, here's what I want you to do. He didn't say, Noah, if you'll do this, I'm going to save you. No, he says, Noah, because I'm going to save you, here's what I want you to do. And you know, that's the same thing that God has said to us. God has came to man and he says, I'm going to establish a covenant with you. Did you know that the New Testament, the word for testament is covenant? That when Jesus Christ died on the cross at Calvary, God was making a covenant with man. And what was he saying? He's saying, I'm going to save you. I'm going to save you because the blood of Jesus Christ is the payment for your sin. I'm providing for you a way of safety, a way of salvation, a way away from judgment. Because I'm doing this, here's what I want you to do. You know, Christians don't live a Christian life to be saved. They live a right kind of life because they are saved. I don't live a Christian way to be sanctified. I live it because I am sanctified. Even though practically it's working out in my life. I do things for God because I am saved. And this is what Noah was doing. God doesn't ask you to do things to be saved, men and women. He asks you to believe him, to turn to him with all your heart. Don't be as Cain, who said it and didn't do it in his heart. Don't be as these people in that day who heard the Spirit of God speaking to them but would not listen. Be as Noah, who believed God and acted on it. Be as Abel, who offered to God the sacrifice that was pleasing to him and gave him the first, gave his whole heart to God. Are you willing to do that today? Jesus Christ died for your sins. God established his covenant between you and me, he says. He says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. For by faith are you saved. Through grace, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That is the covenant of God. Jesus said, this is the New Testament written in my blood. He said, this is the New Testament in my blood. His blood was given for a covenant between God and him, that he would save us. If we trusted in him, have you trusted him? Do you trust him? Do you really believe him? I hope so. Because the time is short and God's about to judge the world again. This is Jeff Buckles of the Two Reserves and Two Destinies Ministry saying goodbye.
Thank you, Jeff, for being with us once again. And thank you for joining us for the Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministry for our Bible study program. If you have any comments or questions, this week call us at 879-5695. Thank you.